life. And we thank you for the hope of eternal life with you. We thank you. Words are not enough for us to express our gratitude. And so today we say hallelujah. Christ the Lord is risen today. Speak a word now for us, Lord God. A word of hope. A word of peace. A word that strengthens us. And most of all, a word of love. Because we are reminded today that God so loved the world, that God would send his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but would have the hope of eternal life. We thank you. And now, Lord God, speak to your children. Take hold of me, the preacher, and put me on behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Every time I think of the resurrection, I smile. It's a good story. It's a wonderful story. It's the best kind of story, isn't it? It's like you're winning the prize at a game, knowing that our Lord is risen. And the Psalm of 118 is a song of victory. On Easter Sunday, the church proclaims, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." Jesus Christ is risen. And in Christ, we too shall raise. God's steadfast love endures forever. The words of Psalm 118 have long been used to herald Easter. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes, says the psalmist. Yes, for this is the day that the Lord is made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. In its ancient Jewish context, Psalm 118 was most likely an entrance liturgy to the temple, used at the festival of Passover. It proclaimed God's deliverance from Egypt and later on from exile. The psalm was a liturgical script, complete with speaking parts for leaders and congregation. One can hear the jubilant call and response in 118, "Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever." And so today we give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever and ever and ever. So like the psalmist, we rejoice. If we were a Jewish group of folks coming in worshiping, we would be coming into the music, into the temple, and we would be singing, "Give thanks to the Lord," or reciting it, "For he is good." Some would say he's better than good. And he's so good, he would say he's bad. You know, when the kids say he's bad, it means you're so good, you're bad. All right? Praise God. God is so good, for what he has done, he's bad. And he's our guy or our gal. He's that person who we can depend on. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene, and we hear Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I've seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. When Mary found the stone rolled away from the tomb and the tomb was empty, she didn't conclude that Jesus was risen. Mary expected to find a dead body. But instead, she would encounter the risen Savior. In fact, Mary's expectation was so strong that she could not recognize the reality of the risen Christ standing directly in front of her. This power of the mind, this power of expectation, is nothing short of amazing. Do you know that we, you and me, can see the risen Savior alive in places and people that we don't even think of, that we don't even believe he exists? We have to expect to see him. We've got to want to see him. So friends, I'm hoping you came today to expect to see Jesus again, anew, alive, risen, through the songs, through the preached word, through the scriptures, through the fellowship, through all of that, that you will see Jesus again.
Amen.
Expect to see him. Let me share a little story with you, and this is true. Last week, the Holy Week, we call it, starting from Monday, if you've been following Facebook pages, you see I've given you the whole journey. If you haven't been reading the Bible, you just read the Facebook pages that I put on. There's never any gossip. The only gossip I write about is Jesus. And that's good gossip. And so here we are. Last week we went on a walk for prayer. Tuesday, March 27 through March 28. I did tell a couple of my Bible study folks the story. But I'd like to expound on seeing Jesus in places you think you won't see Jesus. Well, when this responsibility was given to me, as my beloved lay leader, not lay leader, my beloved S.P. Hartshear would tell me, you could say no sometimes. I was given and I wasn't really all that excited. This was a holy venture and we were supposed to go on a walk of prayer through the community, different churches. This is our district, the Long Island East District, and then now we are in clusters. So we are in the North Shore cluster, and there are 12 churches in the North Shore cluster. And the responsibility was that we would visit each church. They have done this before, and they would have several weeks. But now we were supposed to do it by cluster. And I was the cluster leader. And so we planned to do it the week before Holy Week, but it snowed. So Holy Week, I said to myself, what did I get myself into? Why am I going to do this? But I came up with a plan. I kind of felt, I went to see that movie, Apostle Paul, Apostle of Christ, and I saw all the people that suffered so to spread the gospel, and I felt guilty. I said, I better go do this. So we may come up with a plan, and I had a map of how we were going to tackle these churches. In essence, we were going to do 10 churches because couple of them are the same pastors. So the first stop was going to be Hicksville. I was smart enough to tell the team, those who decided to come, to meet me here. So here was our plan. When we got to the churches, we would be praying for the church. We agreed that we would be praying for the churches, that we would pray for the pastors. We would pray for the laity. We would pray for the ministries there. We would pray for the sick. We would pray, just pray and pray, because we wanted great things to happen. So we started at Hicksville, friends. And there were 7 of us here on that Tuesday morning at 9:30. And let me tell you, we prayed for you. We prayed for those who we know, those who would be here today, those who we're expecting to come, yet to come. Pray that our church would be here forever. We prayed and prayed. And then we got into 2 cars. And my little map says, because I'm doing this then first, we should go to Plainview. So we were going to go from Hicksville, then to Plainview. And so we went to Plainview, and the pastors were there, and we did the same thing. And we prayed. I mean, after a while, we prayed, and we sang, and we just asked God to bless that church. And then we left, and we went to Woodbury, Do you see the map? Do you see what we're doing? So we went to Woodbury, and we did the same thing. And then we went to the New Dream Church. Now, many of you may not know it. It's the old, it's East Meadow Church, right? That is now, not East Meadow, East Norwich. East Norwich. That is now the New Dream Church. And the pastor wasn't there, and I did call him, and I said, get somebody to open up the sanctuary. And we did, and we went in. And then I'd never been to Bansuk, which means the rock. UMC Church, huge campus. Now let me tell you something. Our final stop on Tuesday was Westbury UMC. We had completed 7 of those churches. And we were tired. You know, we're Methodists, we need to eat. So after all that praying, we decided to stop to eat. But let me tell you what I saw in these churches. Came to mind. The Holy Spirit reminded me of. In every one of those churches, there are people there wanting to see Jesus. And I've seen Jesus. Some churches, our church is very ornate with all the stained glass windows. Other churches are plain. Some one church have the cross, a large cross hanging. You, as you come into the altar, no stained glass windows. One church we went to, the back part of the pews were all roped off. And I would think about those things as we prayed, asking God to do mighty work in this church. Not just in our church, in every church we went. And as I stood there, I thought, Jesus has been here. People have been here for years. They have been married here and buried here and baptized their children here and confirmed here. Jesus is here. And even though they're not us, Jesus is there. You just have to look for Jesus among the people. Even though the pews were empty, there wasn't a Sunday, Jesus was there. And as we began to pray, there were men with us. We were men and women. I saw men, lay people who were men praying with us, their eyes filled with tears. The remembrance of what happened in their churches. Do you know, friends, we have not gotten to this stage, and I declare in the name of Jesus that this church would never get to this stage. Do you know the burden that can be on your heart when you think your church may close? Huh? Do you know the deep burden that you want to see Jesus again? You don't want to look at it as the empty tomb. You want to look at it as the risen Savior being there.
Amen.
Can you imagine when one of those pastors and laity said to me, Pastor, our church used to be like this. People coming in all the time. I said to them, well, we serve a risen Savior. It can yet be like that again.
Amen.
I didn't want to do it, you see. But God was what? Using that moment to take me out of my own comfort zone to look at other people in their circumstances. Hicksville, that's why we pray. Because we are not there yet. And I declare we won't be.
Amen.
We will not be because we are looking to see Jesus and we are opening our hearts and we are worshiping Him and praising Him and He's available to us.
Thank you, Lord.
And so, I was going to not go on Wednesday. Because I said, I thought it was when I got up. Maybe I was hallucinating. I thought it rained early Wednesday morning. Somebody said, no, it didn't. I said, I thought it did because I made up my mind if it rained, I had an excuse. I mean, how could God get upset? It rained. I've done my best. But the folks showed up. And now we were going to the other end. We first then went to Port Washington. You know what I noticed? Some churches have huge properties. Some churches have a little bit of land, but it didn't matter. Jesus is there. After Port Washington, you could see our trips, right? We went to Seacliff. And after Seacliff, we prayed and sang and prayed and sang. We took claim of those churches because we all belong to each other. We are connected through Jesus Christ. Not just connected at Methodist, but we're connected through Jesus Christ. And then we went to that beautiful old church in Glen Cove. Not in Glen Cove, in Bayville. The Bayville and the Glen Cove church was going to be merged, and it didn't happen. And so we went to Bayville. And we ended up there because we couldn't get to the other church. The pastor was not available. But through it all, I began to think, we're looking for Jesus, and he's here. Now, to tell you how the Lord works, when we got to Bayville, beautiful little church in that little town, one of the team members who were praying with us, he had come the day before, and he had come the next day and praying with us. As we were praying for the sick and praying, he came up to me and he says, "Pray for me, I have cancer." Here we were. He had served the day before and drove all the way from Bayville, because he was from the Bayville church, to start it again. And he wanted a touch from Jesus. And we were not special. We are not prayer warriors. We are just faithful, obedient folks who call on the name of Jesus. We don't plan. We don't believe that God only hears our prayer, because God is waiting to hear from all of us. God doesn't have any favorites, even though I think that way sometimes, that I'm his favorite, but it's not true. We would sing songs, "There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. For I know that there's this presence of the Lord." Friends, there are congregations just like us today expecting to see Jesus move again. Do you know that there's 69 United Methodist Church still in our district? 69 United Methodists. Some that are a little bit more booming than others, some that are smaller, but we're all doing the same thing. Seeking to see Jesus anew and seeking to tell somebody about Jesus. We're all doing. And so today, on this Easter Sunday, I want to ask you, what do you expect when you come on a Sunday? What do we expect? Do we expect to encounter Jesus again? Do we expect to see him again? Do we expect to see the risen Savior again? Friends, here's what the text tells us. Mary Magdalene got up that morning. Friday had been bad. Friday had been bad for me too. But today I'm doing fine. I'm better than fine today. I'm so happy I could dance up and down these aisles. You may have to just, if you see me start skipping back and forth, it's not because I've lost my mind. I'm just happy because Jesus is risen. And the Bible says she had gone there to look for the body because she knew what happened on Friday night. Friday at 3 o'clock. She knew. And she went and she looked. She would look in. She was there with the guys, the disciples. And she looked in the tomb. And she didn't see his body. And she began to get overwhelmed and upset. She says, "They've taken his body. They've taken his body. He's gone." All she wanted to do was to embalm him and give him a burial. I come to tell some of these churches who think they're dead and dying, look again. Look again, friends. We are not dead, but we're yet alive if we trusted the Lord. Huh? Because the Bible tells us that the disciples went. I don't know why they were weary. Sometimes you get weary and you run. You know, you get weary. You know what I'm saying, church? You get weary and you just say, "He's gone. It's over." But my Bible says she came back. Mary came back, and can't you just see Mary staring in? She's looking inside now. I could picture her, because she cannot believe her eyes, still looking for this dead body. And glory to God, you see, when I came here, I don't come looking for a dead church. I come wanting some excitement. You understand? And I'm going to get more excited than you think I am this next year by God's grace. Just wait a minute when I come in here with bells on my toes and my hands and start dancing.
I know my little young man is laughing at me. Do you see it's true? Wait till I come in here. You're going to have to tell people about the pastors dancing all over the place. Because I'm excited that we are what? We are yet alive in here. Look at you all today who have shown up.
Amen.
Not just to see me. Of course not even though I'm adorable, but to what? To see Jesus. Right? To see the risen Savior again.
Amen.
Right? We are alive here today. Thanks be to God for that. And so the Bible tells us, this is what I love about Jesus. When you look for him, he'll show up. He'll always show up. He'll show up in some form or the other. He'll show up. I wanted to tell those pastors that I saw, he shows up and he shows up and he shows up. And so Mary, when she looked, she was weeping. And Jesus has a way of doing that. He says, woman, why are you weeping? She didn't even recognize him. She had known him. But sometimes you can be down so much in your stuff. Sometimes you can be so overwhelmed, friends, that you can't even see Jesus when Jesus shows up. Sometimes Jesus will send somebody and show up. But you can't see Jesus because, you know, the rush of the work and problems and being overwhelmed and life trials, you can't see Jesus. But he'll stay there until you see him. My Bible says, he said, woman, why are you weeping? And she says, you know, they've taken my Savior. And then he called her name. He says, Mary, church, he's calling your name. He will whisper your name when you feel overwhelmed. When you feel alone.
Hallelujah.
When you think all his thoughts, you'll hear a whisper of Jesus in your ear. Victor, I'm here with you. He will do that. He's like that, you see. He's that kind of Savior. You don't even have to be perfect. Because he'll perfect us. He'll just show up. When you think all is lost, he'll show up. Oh, glory to God. The resurrection story reminds us of that. That's why you can't stop me from hollering and screaming sometimes. Because I have seen the risen Savior. He's in the world today. And hear what, friends, as I bring this to a close. Yes, Helen, I'm bringing it to a close. Here, let me just tell you today that I've seen the risen Savior because I've seen him living in each and every one of you who believe.
Amen.
When I look at you, and if you believe and accepted Christ and you're living, frankly, he's in everybody. Even some of us who don't want to say he's in us, he's in us. Because he says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He conquered death because he decided that he would never leave us. He loved us so that we can't stop him from loving us. Frankly, he's stalking us. Do you know that Jesus is a stalker? Stalking you, coming after you. You can't run. Right? Because he loves you. Today, this is a story today. Jesus loves you. And we have seen the risen Savior.
Hallelujah.
Have you seen him? If you haven't seen him, you can. Just look at the person next to you who's here today. That person represents the risen Savior. The resurrected Savior who's living in them and living in you and me. Amen.